SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Live from Santa Anita. Sorry to come in a moment late there. The Thursday morning after draw, we've got fields across the country. Santa Anita, Aqueduct, Keeneland. And just an interesting morning here. Certainly yesterday, get to Santa Anita, and there's no media. I wondered if there would be, some. The media, though, shows up today. Do they think that there's only racing, that there's only training when there's racing going on? And that I guess that's their thought Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Just because there wasn't racing in the afternoon, there wasn't going to be horses out here at this time of day. Rick just went to get the little bowl of oatmeal. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. I had to make the racetracker's choice this morning, getting in the car: be early or get donuts. So I got donuts.
You did both, actually. Well, you were still early and you got the donuts.
And so I had to go get the oatmeal, but this is the cholesterol savings trick.
Yeah,
oatmeal.
We've had this debate on the
oatmeal,
show.
Oatmeal, blueberries, and strawberries. Every morning, your cholesterol will go down like 50 points, guaranteed. Worked for me in years. But apparently, I was just talking to some of the guys down below. I guess they were here Monday.
Okay, so
that's the day after, right? But I agree.
And then Tuesday and Wednesday,
there wasn't a soul here yesterday. Anyway, there's someone on the bridge. They're waiting.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's also been termed, other more morbid terms. Meanwhile, I before you got here and you came at the tail end, I had a really nice visit with John Sheriffs. And John, I said, John, I think people would love to hear from you. And he said, reticent, really, to talk about in everything here, because it the uncertainty continues to be, I think, the biggest issue that is just hanging over everybody. And even yesterday, when the topic of the downhill came up, there had been Steve Anderson's report based on what Chuck Winter had said on Wednesday or Tuesday night. And the horsemen, here they were, entering for races on Saturday, and they didn't know what the status was. No communication to them about where things stood, for instance, on the prospect for 6.5 down the hill. And so they're, for now, are suspended. And the ones that were already scheduled will go to the main track. There was also even...
Actually, one of the races is being moved to a mile. The eighth race today, I believe. I wrote down here, let's see. The first race today that was scheduled down the hill is going 6.5 dirt. The eighth race today, which was scheduled 6.5, is going to a mile in the turf. I got a text yesterday about that.
So that,
but double check everything for last minute. And then tomorrow's third race is going on the dirt. So check the scrawl, the crawl, and then go to the website. I'm sure they'll make the announcements early this morning, 8 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock, whenever they do. I believe that's what I got. So, but double, please double check the website
when the changes are announced.
Right.
Meanwhile, Chuck Winter also discussed that. Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah. All right. So that it's just showing the note that, Rick received. And the CHRB is and Chuck Winter, I guess, had conversations with with the senator's office, with Feinstein's office, and is going to meet next week. But in the meantime, things will proceed.
In the meantime, we're racing today. That's the good thing. Get back to some semblance of normalcy. Get people back working and get horses running the track here. That's what we're here for, to race horses. Okay. And anyway, like I said, I think you're talking to John. John's got a ton of stories to tell, as we all know. Been around a long time, had some real nice horses, most notably, of course, Zenyatta. But, I think a lot of people now are kind of just thinking with themselves and done talking. Let's just go ahead and do our job, run the races, and let's get back to what we came here for. And I think that's good, and we have some races to talk about today. They're going to run here today. They drew entries across the country for the three-year-old races. A lot of stakes going off between Santa Anita and Keeneland and Aqueduct. Probably 15 stakes going. So a lot of good horses to talk about this weekend, and that's what we need to talk about.
Keeneland opens, of course, today, and nice card. You'll have the first two-year-old race of the season that opens the meet. They've got the turf sprint, the new turf sprint that they inaugurated, the Palisades, and then tomorrow the Transylvania for the three-year-olds, mile and the 16th on the grass. They got a nice group for that.
I noticed. I think it's probably the first two-year-old race of the year. So they open up with the fillies, and they get 16. And then they come back the next day with the boys. I think they got 12 or something in there. So they're ready to run out there in the bluegrass day, which is great to see. I noticed, of course, you always, whenever you see those two-year-old races, the first ones come out of Kenyon and look for the old WW.
Who ended up on the also eligible
list. In the first
list.
Race, right. Yeah. And then the next day he's got a couple colts in the race, too. But that's who you keep an eye on first, and then you go from there. It's amazing what Wesley Ward, of course, we're talking about, what he's been able to do over the past 10 years with the younger horses, getting them going early, and then, of course, taking them across the pond and making his mark over there. So this is, Keeneland's always, the gateway to spring and the two-year-old racing. So that means we're going to see some new horses for next year. We start looking already, right, Steve?
And the first crop sires. That's always fun. Although it's always, I always make this note exactly right now for Keeneland. It always, when I go looking at these races for siblings and big mares and so forth in these two-year-old races early in the year, and they very rarely. There's very rarely early on in April, and you don't get too many notable sibs early on in the season. I don't have a theory as to why necessarily. There's a couple of important races the first couple of days, including the allowance on. And I'm just pulling out the Keeneland PPs, and I want you to remind everybody, I mentioned this when they drew, mentioned this early in the week, on Friday, you've got an allowance that features some three-year-olds that have got a lot of upside, and it's going to go as a first-level allowance, the 8th at Keeneland on Friday, where U.S. Navy Cross comes back for Chad Brown. Peter Brandt and Joe Allen and the Curlin colt that was last seen in the Nashua is going to debut around the two turns. Gunnet ended up in here, and then Intrepid Heart that I asked Todd Pletcher about last week, and Todd had mentioned I thought maybe they would go back to Oaklawn for the Northern Spur. And instead, he said an allowance first. And so Intrepid Heart turns up here. And then Todd was speculating about the Peter Pan and the Belmont. So that's the plan for the Tappet colt out of the Touch Gold mare Flaming Heart. And he was a $750,000 purchase for the Lowe's, Bob and Loana Lowe. And then, of course, Gunnett. You know, Gunnett's been sort of had hinted that at some point he was going to break out, and the Risen Star was not the place for it. And so he's going to regroup and take a step back. Owen Hardy in there with Cave Run, too, who was the early Tampa season 3-year-old that looked like there was something, you know, something there, and he drew all the way outside. But a very good group in here. Get the prize too for Al Stahl, a horse that on that card, which I think was the same day, yeah, Risen Star Day, and get the prize early in the
you know, the
slate.
We're finding that, you know, there's nothing wrong having a 3-year-old that kind of begins his career in March and April to get ready. So you miss the classics. Okay, no big deal. There's plenty of racing left in the rest of the year, and I think you're seeing some people take some shots early with their horse. You know, in January or even in December, they maybe know, you know, we're not going to make the Derby. Back off a little bit, but let's have a fresh horse ready for the second half of the year, because there's, like we said, there's a ton of money there, and if you're going to miss the Derby, it's just better to back off than try and, you know, falsely try and get there with a horse that probably has no chance. So that's why races like this you keep an eye on, because a horse like this that performs well, all of a sudden he's showing up in the Peter Pan and maybe the Belmont and you know, races later in the year.
Well, let's get a quick glance, Rick, at the cards that and how they came together, particularly the three features. And there were actually a couple of interesting, as always, when they open up that entry box, you can identify with this. There's some names that you didn't necessarily expect.
Well, you know, on my side, when we used to do this, and, you know, the press would bug us for probables, and I would always tell, you know, the state guy or whatever, if we're going to have 10, just give him 5. That fringe guy doesn't want to read in the paper the day before enters is going to be, you know, all these horses are going in there. You give him 5 or 6, and then, you know, at least it gives him hope. So all of a sudden, you open up the box, like you said, hey, let's go, let's go, let's go. We want to be part of the show. And that's what happens on some of these big days. I was really introduced to this at Monmouth when I went back there, when they Haskell Day was like, that was it. From opening day, the only thing you thought about was Haskell Day, how to get horses to Haskell Day. And that first, it was my first time introduced to 11 races on a card, 9 of them stakes. I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. And people just wanted to be part of the day. Find me a place I can run so I can show up that day and be part of the action. I think you see that with some of these big cards that's been going on, you know, lately with some of the big tracks. You got Bluegrass Day and even, you know, races here and in New York. They just want to be part of the show.
Now, the show will be across the country from New York to Kentucky to here. And a quick glance at New York to start at the Big A. You ended up with 11 in here. We were thinking, you know, 9, maybe 10, but there were a couple of names that popped up, including Math Wizard. How about Safi Joseph making his way up from Gulfstream with Math Wizard, and Eric Cancel's going to ride. That actually affected a little bit on the draw front, because Math Wizard in the 9 and Outshine ended up in the 10 hole for Todd Pletcher and Johnny V, the Let's Go team. Jovia did go ahead. Greg Sacco, pretty much had been committed to running with Mind Control opting for the Bayshore, and Jovia ends up all the way out drawn in the 11, and he was one of the late nominees. There were 4 Triple Crown late nominations that were announced yesterday, and of course Hoffa's Union, one of those as well. Mark Cassie sending out the Gary Barber and Partner acquisition that they took off the Big Laurel performance for Gary Capuano. Hoffa's Union draws the 3. Dylan Davis is going to ride. That became an additional name in the wood, Rick, because Hoffa's Union, under the conditions at the Bluegrass wasn't going to make the field. He would have been number 15 because they drew a full field of 14 for the Bluegrass, and so Cassie opted to run Hoffa's Union in New York. So the field quickly, Randy Hill's tax drew the one hole, Junior Alvarado, Danny Gargan, of course, Tacitus coming up from the Tampa Bay Derby win for Bill Mott and Judd Mott, Jose Ortiz, the two, Hoffa's Union, Heichel coming out of the Gotham win for Shadwell and Kieran, Rajiv Marah. Final Jeopardy, we talked with Ben Glass on Monday and got a look at him for Gary Mary West, Jason Service, and Manny Franco, the five. Over Deliver, who we talked about with Todd Pletcher, and Mike Rapoli, of course, Kendrick Carmouche riding Not That Brady. And, you know, we were against Not That Brady in the Gotham because of the hoof. He was having that hoof issue, but it's been a month. And so, you know, that is behind him. So don't necessarily hold that against him from the Gotham Day performance. Out of the seven hole, Not That Brady with Raylu Gutierrez. And then Grump's Little Tot from Michael Dubb. Also Jason Service and Jose Lascano aboard. Math Wizard, as mentioned, Eric Hansel for Safi Joseph. And Outshine, Todd and Jovia, as mentioned. So a nice 11-horse field with couple of really three, what do you got, three stake winners in there between Tax and Tacitus and who am I missing? Heichel. Yeah.
Now, isn't it amazing as you go over this card how times have changed? And I'm going to say maybe 5 years ago you would look at a horse like Hoffa's Union and
put a line through it, right?
A line through it. Yeah. Same with the other maiden winner. Who's that? That Final Jeopardy?
Yeah.
So you would take a look at those and go, or not Final Jeopardy won
an allowance rate. That's right.
Grump's Little Tots. Okay. So you would just immediately toss if they just broke their maiden and they're making their second, going for their second win in a major grade one race, 3 year old. But not anymore. With so many lightly raced horses here, you have to go back and take a little look. I mean, look at Hoffa's Union. I mean, the horse won by 15, and you know, you win a race by 15, Steve. That you do give that a second glance, just like the horse that won in Florida.
Exactly.
He won his race by 18. He goes, "Oh, is that real?" But I mean, you got to be something to win a horse race. The buyer's huge, and the fact that he didn't get in one place and shipped to get in the other place leads you to believe that, you know, this horse is live. You know, he's got Gary Barber and Wattell, his some of his primary clients. And you know what? Maybe they're looking to try and get in the Derby. So you give those horses a second glance. You got Tacitus. What did he do? He broke his mane. He went to go ahead and win the Tampa Derby. Probably watched the Tampa Bay Derby 3, 4, 5 times last night, trying to pick out. I think that's the key race of the day.
Yeah.
To decide if you're going to like those horses that coming out of that race, or you're going to put a line through the race and say, you know what? I'm going to move on from that race. And I'm still not sure which side of the fence I'm on, to tell you the truth.
Well, and it's going to come into play, too, because Win Win Win, of course, is running in the Bluegrass. And so between the, you know, the top finishers that are participating here, meaning Tacitus and Outshine, and then Win Win Win, and also Sir Winston, who, you know, ran, we talked with Cassie after the Tampa Bay Derby and when we were at OBS, and Mark was very happy with Sir Winston's performance and the mile in the eighth. You know, we say we got to remember that when you make this transition from mile and mile and 16th races to the mile in the eighth, there's plenty of horses that, despite the rumors to the contrary, that horses don't want to run a route of ground anymore, it's just such a crock. There's plenty of these horses that are going to then, you know, that are going to make a very successful transition to the mile and the eighth.
Some of them will show that they really want to go this far.
Yeah,
and then some
exactly.
Some of them will decide they don't, like what Greg's horse, Mind Control. Right? You know what? Been there. I'm going to go the other way.
Exactly.
But some of these, look, they've been running at the end. And you do bring up Win, Win, Win. You know, I specifically wanted to take a look at his effort in the Tampa Bay Derby. And, you know, grind, the wide
absolutely.
Trip. And at this point of the year, I think I'm more excited about a horse that's that's that type that can just kind of, you know, sit there and be there at the end and be moving in the right direction at the end. So this will really tell if he wants to move on. I have some interesting horses in here, like Tax. Tax has been a horse I've had on my PPs for weeks, wondering, is he still in? But he is.
Oh yeah, no. He. Yeah. This was Danny Gargan's. This was Gargan's. We didn't get a chance to talk to Danny right after the win. But I actually saw him at OBS and we talked about it then. And this was always the plan. Let's also, and we'll circle back as the morning goes on and touch on the Carter and the Gazelle, the Excelsior and the Bayshore. The Bayshore ended up actually with five, and there was. There was one horse that we thought that perhaps Sparkyville was making the trip. He did not make the trip, and so it's much better. Mucho, Mind Control, Call Paul. In fact, Gary Young just walked by, and then Mount Travers for Linda Rice and Alpha Delta. But five pack for the Bayshore, which is going to go as the sixth. The Carter World of Trouble draws very well. Draws the eight hole and the backstretch run, the 7/8. So not a bad place to be for World of Trouble going that trip. Identity Politics shows up in here. From Chad Brown and Seth Klarman, and the horse that's very dangerous for World of Trouble maybe is Honor Up from Michelle Nevin, who is really in great form and could be competitive. The Gazelle drew six, and the Excelsior, nice group of eight. So the card in New York is very nice. Let's turn our attention to the Bluegrass because we brought up Win Win Win. The favorite's going to be Vekoma. For George Weaver and George making the decision to bypass the Florida Derby, take an extra week. And it sure feels like not only does he get an extra week, it feels like this is a softer spot considering that he's going to be the 9-5 morning line favorite.
Isn't it great this time of year to see that many horses going into a and also, like you said, that didn't make it. I've always been waiting for this Some Like It Brown to run back. Some Like It Hot Brown, excuse me, the big brown that Michael Maker has. And he's slower than most of them. I'm just intrigued. He's a win type, so I'm intrigued to look at him. Vekoma, the post draw is probably huge going with 14 of them out there. Draws post two, he's going to be favored. Betting wise, I'm not sure I'm looking for a favorite in a race like this. It's going to be a cavalry charge. Signal Man, another one. Been wondering if he's going to come back, but Kenny McPeak, the horse is ready to roll. He doesn't miss an entry. So, another interesting one, Market King, Chess Chief, worth a little look, but not sure. Now here's a horse that could be a sleeper. It doesn't run him alike. Dream Maker, when he's bad, he's very bad. But that one run at Fairgrounds, we take a little look at him last time and one clunker. Do you want to toss him or not? He's not a very good gate horse. That is always problematic. Three of the five starts didn't come out of the gate too well, and sometimes these horses make their own trouble. So if you want to deal with that comes with that horse. But the horse you mentioned, Sir Winston, I got a nice little check mark by him, the fifth place horse in that race. At Tampa, and that's why I say it's amazing that the horses that are in that race that are sprinkled in these two races, was that race going to be a good go-to race or not? And if you can say no, then there's going to be some other stuff to look at. Jason Service, why not? Lucky Lee, throw him in there. But some of the horses on the
John, outside. That's a John. That's John. Yeah.
Brother John. Interesting field. I'm looking at Sir Winston. And the more I watch that win, I keep hearing you in the back of my head liking that horse since before the race at the 7/8 race. And Rad sticks with him I don't know. Very interesting spot.
A quick rundown. Some Like It Hot Brown, Tyler Gaffalione, and Maker, of course, and Vekoma, Javi Castellano, and George Weaver. Manny Franco had been riding, but Manny stays in New York on Saturday. Signal Man, McPeak, and Brian Hernandez Jr., Market King, Wayne Lucas. This is a Baker Mac $550,000 purchase. And, you know, he was a distant third in the Rebel, but it felt like actually a progressive race, considering that he really didn't get going in the right direction until January, February. And so Market King actually might be moving forwardly at the right time for the coach. Chess Chief, Dallas Stewart, one of two in here, is going to be a big price. Paco Lopez gets out of jail Stewart jail to ride. Dreammaker with Cassie, as mentioned, you know, has been inconsistent. When we think back, you know, we thought that there was a bigger excuse in the Tampa Bay Derby than there really proved to be. And Florent Giroux sticks. Admire, Dale Romans, also out of the Tampa Bay Derby. And, you know, this was actually a horse that was problematic in the paddock before the race, and it was seventh, but only beaten four and change. Dale, you know, who certainly is going to give every horse that he can think of a chance to run. He ended up not entering Mr. Ankeny, the Albaugh three-year-old that we thought was going to run, but Robbie Alvarado back to ride Admire for this Albaugh purchase, $360,000 Cairo Prince. The win-win-win, and you know, we certainly documented this extensively with Mike Trombetta for Mrs. Weber, and the homebred out of the Smarty Jones mare. He is a one-pace type, and when you get to a mile and an eighth and a mile and a quarter, that plays. And I actually talked to Mike the other evening, and says that the Colt's done very well since, and he certainly draws midfield, a perfect place for Rad Ortiz to set up, probably mid-pack. Sir Winston, you know plenty about, obviously. Tracy Farmer, who's back in the game in a big way now that his Kentucky regulator job is behind him. Sir Winston, the awesome again colt, 15-1. Lucky Lee for John Service, as mentioned, and Chuck Zachney's Cash is King team. There's that number again, 110,000. That's kind of funny that came up with Ben Glass. So Alive, Bob LaPenta, and Todd Pletcher. And, of course, the success on Saturday in Dubai, the familiar maroon jacket with those gold finials. Of Bob LaPenta winning with Cole Front in the Godolphin Mile, and Luis Saez has got the mount on So Alive, who draws the 11 hole here. This is, of course, the Vino Rosso brother, Super Saver out of Mythical Bride, John Gunther, and last year's John and Tanya, last year's Eclipse Award winning breeders. Parsimony for Paul Redham and Doug O'Neill. Mario Gutierrez comes cross country for this one out of the Rebel. Moonster for Dale Romans and Calumet, the Malibu Moon. And John McKee is going to ride. And 30-1. And then Aquadini, the second of the Dallas Stewarts. This one, a Bernardini colt that's coming out of a nice allowance placement. Broke his maiden in February and did it with some style, did Aquadini at the time. And he also feels like a horse that, since he turned 3 years old, has made progressive starts. So a big, bulky, fun field for the Bluegrass, which, of course, is the highlight. Plenty of other grade one action, including the Ashland, where you've got Jaywalk coming back, facing off against Feedback and Chocolate Kisses. How about the Madison, Shamrock Rose, another champion. There's her returning to Keeneland, and she drew the nine, a perfect spot for her for 7/8. And that's a fun group. Amy's Challenge in there, the Shakertown and the Commonwealth, and so on. It's a big day.
It's a great opening. That was a heck of a rundown.
Thank you
for that Bluegrass. Yeah. Seriously, but you mentioned Shamrock Rose, and we were in Ocala when we had Mark on, and he mentioned that he was going to the Azari. At Oaklawn, we kind of said, wow, we were going two turns. And she ran a super race, first race back. And just like you said, this 7 furlongs is a perfect spot to bring her back. Don't you agree, that Madison?
Absolutely. And I like the turn back. I thought, frankly, I was very interested in Shamrock Rose on the stretch out. at Oaklawn, and I thought that she had a real interesting shot because of the way the race figured to set up. And she did exactly what I was kind of hoping. She waited for the speed to fade, Leora, and then went on with it. Was it Leora? Not Leora. I forget who the speed was. Leora's the three-year-old. But the speed faded, and
made the
she
first
took
run.
Over. Yeah, I thought she'd get first run. I thought maybe she could sneak away, and then late and midnight Bizu might not get to her, but they overhauled her. But she ran very well at 8-1, and now she turns back to 7/8. That is the exact formula that worked to start her run to the championship and the Breeders' Cup win, because she turned back for the Raven Rose. So Shamrock Rose, 5-2. But you know what? Bernie Flint, with that wonderful America's Tale, the four-year-old, the Gio Ponti, has been terrific. How about Javier Contreras showing up with the streaking, the wonder filly, late night powwow on this incredible run, coming off the Barbara Fritchie. And then there's Spice the Perfection coming east for Peter Miller, and was second to late night in the in that Fritchie and Amy's Challenge for Mac Robertson. So this is a nice group for the Madison never disappoints.
No, it's loaded. It's loaded. It's a true grade one event.
And then finally, let's give you the rundown, then we'll go to the break. But we'll do the rundown quickly at Santa Anita. In fact, Case, you could start to send us to the break because there's actually a couple of smallish fields. The Santa Anita handicap is going to be the late action, Rick, is going to be the last stake as opposed to the Derby. And McKinsey, Mongolian Groom, prime attraction for Jim Cassidy. Gift Box, who Gary Young prefers coming into this, to McKinsey. And Prince of Arabia, also Cassidy and Daron Pearson and Campaign. So six-pack for the big cap. The Providencia for the three-year-old fillies going a mile and an eighth on the grass. That's a nice ten-horse field. Including Laker Ball. We got to start to like Laker Ball. And now the Derby. Roadster for Speedway and Bob Baffert from the rail. More ice turned up in this race for Jerry Hollendorfer. That was a name that wasn't rumored earlier going into the draw day. And Giovanni Franco will ride Joe Talamo aboard Nolo Contesto for Sadler from the three. Synthesis, the new purchase, George Papapodromo and Rafi Bejarano. Instagram, Flavian Pratt, who we talked to, Derek Lawson, his agent. It looks like Pratt is angling toward New York as a spring riding destination, and he will be a nice addition to the New York jockey colony. Game winner, of course, Rosario for the Wests and Baffert. The Oaks, Bellafina is about 1-9, it seems, in that Oaks. She'll face, among others, the pair of Bafferts, Flor de la Mar and Chasing Yesterday. Sturd comes back. We didn't get a chance to talk about her with Aaron Wellman and Michael McCarthy. And then Slew Good to Be True, Peter Urton for his big team, and Giovanni Franco. And the Evening Jewel, there's also the Echo Eddie and the Royal Heroine. I didn't even somehow I lost the Royal Heroine when I printed.
We got Basilica in there. It's pretty,
yeah, so
pretty
it's much another 1-9.
Pretty much all you need to know.
There you go. Her sister's running at Keeneland. The maiden 3-year-old sister makes her 3-year-old debut, Vasilisa.
Wow.
And we caught her. She caught my eye last year when Basilica was when I forget. I'll find that, but I did notice that that Vasilisa was back Saturday.
I mean, Basilica. We'd gone years of having a different winner in every filly and mare long turf race. I mean, I think we went 16 straight races here in the whole Southern California circuit with a different winner, and then she comes along and basically has just won everything since he made a claim of the year, of the decade so far. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I look back and I see way back down there in her lines, April 1st, 2018, the March Madness starter handicap, which before she started her run, we put 124 pounds on, and then she ran in another start. We put 129 pounds on her. And then, he took advantage of her conditions, and
the winning, I think they got the I think Bob Cousy had signed the basketball that you gave away.
And that's what I'm saying. So the March Madness. So you know, during March we used to have the March Madness, and we'd have a signed basketball we'd give to the winning owner, and then we had the Super Bowl party starter on Super Bowl Sunday. They get the football. And it started out, we'd have the jock sign it. Now we just anybody that walks in the door can sign any name.
Any name they want.
And, you know, so they, and you know what, it was a fun thing.
Absolutely.
And so winning that basketball was like a big thing.
Sure.
And the owners would come in and say, hey, can you get me another one of those? Like, hey, man, that's a one-of-a-kind deal. And the best story I have is 6-7 years ago, and Kurt Hoover usually gives the basketball away. But so he's in there, and you know, I can't remember the trainer, but you know, the group won, and they're in there, and they got the ball, and they give the ball to the kid. He's probably 7, 8, 9 years old, and he's looking around, and he goes, "Dad, Larry Bird signed it." You know, and I'm like, put my head down, walking away, like. But you know what? He got a thrill out of it. But that was the thing, and nobody ever won the football and the basketball in the same year. So we always get around with that.
Who's going to be the first?
Who's going to be the first? But stuff like that, you know, brings me back. We had a little fun, but they didn't do it this year. So, so that's done. So those 11, 12 basketballs out there are going to be worth something.
I love it. Let's take a break. Bottom of the hour, and a little hazy this morning. They just had a Harrow break. Horses out again, and we'll come right back.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions 3 straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I heard the news. There's bulls rocking tonight. Gonna hold my baby tight as I can. Tonight she'll know I'm a mighty man. I heard the news. There's bulls rocking tonight. Have you heard the news?
Day two, Santa Anita will be here through Monday and then off to Oaklawn for Arkansas Derby Week and the Racing Festival of the South. And in fact, on that topic, a lot of TV, of course, these next couple of weekends. And also, I do have some, we'll slip through the news items that have been piling up, as they often do when we get to this time of year. But, in fact, NYRA yesterday announced the big broadcast package for the summer and through Saratoga, and 125 days of broadcast coming up. And this, of course, reaches 70% of the country, and it's been a huge hit, Belmont Live and Saratoga Live broadcast. Every day of Saratoga will be featured as part of it, and it's been a big hit. It's gotten spread out to other carriers in the Rockies. Elevation or whatever that network is called, and also some other networks that have picked it up. I told you about the late nominees, Hoffa's Union and Jovia and Grump's Little Tots. So three of the Woodrunners are late nominees, and Spun to Run, a winner at Parks, an allowance winner, just last week, actually, also was a late nomination. And the one horse we got to look on, got to find out what's gone on. Always Mining, and I'm wondering if to reach out to Kelly Rubley and see about if Always Mining is now going to take the route of going to the Tessio to try to parlay into the Preakness, because Always Mining had been a potential consideration for the Wood. Monomoy Girl, who everybody's tracking and waiting to return, and had been anticipated for Derby week weekend within the La Trienne, she had a little colic scare, and so she's been sent back to Windstar, back to Kessmark for the little R&R, and then Brad Cox will start back up. So Monomoy Girl, her return delayed a little bit. I'm going to mention the story I tweeted earlier this morning that I came across from Maryland and MarylandMatters.org, that coming out of Annapolis, and there had been a bill that had been banging around and was getting some coverage, turned into a rather hot item in the halls of the state legislature at Annapolis, and basically a racetrack funding package, House Bill 990, Senate Bill 883, and this involved some bond issues that was going to send money particularly toward Laurel and Bowie. And as I had mentioned coming out of that Mid-Atlantic meeting, plans for Bowie to be kind of refreshed as a training center and as a potential, in the eventuality that Pimlico doesn't get rebuilt, the potential for Bowie to become a second Maryland Jockey Club racing locale, to take a break away from Laurel. So that was all happening, and the Baltimore City problem, as it were, raised its head. And as a result, this funding bill was put aside. And there are people that are digging their feet in over Pimlico, Rick. There's no two ways about it.
You know, you wonder if they're digging their feet in just to put the show on.
I don't think so.
Or
I don't think so. Not when you read these quotes.
Yeah, and I've looked at it a little bit, not as much as probably you have and others, but doesn't that city have other problems to worry about?
Yes and no. Yes and no. There's some momentum using the Hill as a place to trigger investment and redevelopment that could spread. That's the thought process. And this is such a tough issue. Those of you that follow on Twitter, read this piece. It's very really interesting. And some things actually about Laurel came out of this. In fact, I'll give you that. I know you didn't get a chance. I know you saw the headline, but hadn't had a chance to read it. Stuart Pittman apparently was called on to tour Laurel, and we'll see what comes out of that. Since we swung through Maryland, yeah.
Well, you know, you mentioned tour and Laurel. I had been hadn't been there in ages until I went back this year and saw some of the stuff that's going on there, and you know,
they're trying to position it to be.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, of the interior and some of the rooms there are really top-notch. And so you can see the move that's made, and it makes sense with the buoy situation, too. It's there. Restore that. It's kind of like our Pomona over here.
Yeah. The backstretch. There's backstretch issues that crop up in that piece, too, that backstretch hasn't kept pace with the front side to work. Since we're swinging through Maryland, happened to notice the Red Hot Apprentice down there. The Correa, the Julio Correa. Have you watched this kid? It was, won three races the other day. And the hot rider. This looks like the next big thing coming in Maryland.
Like we've never had any hot riders come out of Maryland.
Maryland's the what can we call it? The incubator. Simon Callahan is getting ready, of course, for the return
of Turn of Bellafina. And it looks like he made the right choice, not running in Sunland, and he's happy to see the horse on paper on the overnight for Saturday.
Here's the quick rundown, too, that we had mentioned, and including Laurel, Michael McCarthy, son of Michael McCarthy, Trevor McCarthy, and Claudia Gonzalez. They took the trainer and rider title coming out and of the Laurel winter season. Steve Asmussen, now with Sam Houston, wrapped up. Asmussen with a 11th. Leading trainer title at Sam Houston, which of course included Midnight Bisou's Ladies Classic, and Deshaun Parker got a second leading rider title, and 48 wins for Parker. How about Gulfstream? You had Arad Ortiz and George Navarro, and Navarro ended, I forgot about this, had ended Pletcher's. Pletcher had won 15 straight training titles at Gulfstream. 15 straight.
For the championship.
Yeah, 15 straight.
That's quietly.
It's very,
won 15
it's
straight.
Very, it's unbelievable. Linda Rice and Manny Franco at Aqueduct. Also, Michael Dubb
won the owner title.
Yes.
Again.
Michael Dubb, we saw him on Saturday. He and I didn't get a chance to ask him, but he must have he had his arm kind of in a sling, and I'm going to guess the tennis court. I'm going to guess a tennis spill.
Looked the like, old tennis elbow?
I think maybe might have, who knows, maybe a little separated shoulder or something, but he must have taken. Must have taken a header on the tennis court, is my guess. So there you go. And one more jockey note. I had to get this in because I immediately texted Chuck Simon, and I forgot to bring this up with Chuck the other day. Ray Ganpath. You know the name Ray Ganpath?
Yes.
Ray Ganpath on Sunday. I'm sitting doing some work. I'm watching some replays after Gulfstream, you know, Saturday, and, you know, you miss racing from elsewhere. And I'm hearing the chatter, and Ray Ganpath, he's only taken 9 calls this year. He won the first race at Gulfstream on Sunday. And, of course, Gampath rode for an exercise rider for years and years in New York and would ride in the afternoons, very much like Rudy Rodriguez, is somebody that would, you know, that would ride in a lot, do a lot of training work for trainers and then, you know, get afternoon rides. But Ray Gampath, who's got to be, he's got to be in his late 50s.
At least,
if not early 60s. Gampath, a winner, and riding for Rowan Crichton. And Crichton, of course, had won the stake race on Saturday as well. So I thought that was really nice. I had to get Gampath's name out there, long associated with Alan Jerkins.
As we just look on the track here and see a little bit more action, reminded of the new... The new mode of training here, which is not unusual. They do it at Del Mar. There's three breaks, 6, 7:15, and 8:30. And after the renovation during the break, the first 10 minutes of after each break is out there for workers only. So when we were sitting here 10 minutes ago and the track opened, and, you know, there's just a handful of horses out there. It looked kind of odd. And now that 10-minute period is over, and the track's filling up like normal. And once again... yesterday we were sitting here talking about how fast the sun came up. 5 minutes ago we were on flashlights on our iPhones to see, and it's so crazy. And it's a little overcast today. So whoever says the weather doesn't change in California, Steve.
Yeah, no. Albert Hammond. We had a couple of responses. My man Tony Montanino sent me a text, and also on Twitter, Albert Hammond saying. Southern California rain,
among others, probably.
No, but he made it the hit. You still hear it. There you go. One more. Because I brought this race up. I got a big kick out of it on Monday that the Will Rogers had the only major race of the day on Monday, and then. In the Highland Ice, it was Welder for Teresa Lunick, who just has been really amazing. He won that stake, won it easily at 1-5, and that's his 16th win in 25 starts. Welder won in hand, basically, for Lunick. And David Cabrera aboard. Nice little rider, David Cabrera. We brought him up. We were talking about somebody... Was it Remington or I brought him up? I brought him up with either Asmussen or I think it was with Asmussen actually, or Brett Calhoun, and he's a guy that that is maybe got the next level
in mind.
Yeah, or maybe on tap. Nick Juarez, who somebody asked about, or I. Got into a conversation about on Twitter the other night as I was flying, and Nick Juarez. This is a big opportunity for him coming into New York to ride in the wood. Juarez that was basically picked up by Walter Blum Jr. And when we talked to Walter about after the injury to Romero Marat, virtually simultaneously, Walter picked up Nick Juarez, and Juarez finished the Gulfstream Winter Meet with a real flurry. And he's a guy that several winters ago, I saw that Zito was riding him, and I said, "You like this kid?" And he said, "This kid," he said, "number one, he saves ground every year. He's not somebody you have to tell to save ground. He absolutely is like a magnet to the rail. Is not afraid to go down inside, and that was what Nick really liked about him. And he's had flashes, but it does feel like he's got some real momentum, and he's riding for Greg Sacco Saturday in the wood on Jovia. So it's nice for him to get a showcase at that kind of level."
It is.
Yeah. And that, I think, exhausts my... There we go. I can take all of that news.
Robin, we're done with the news.
We got a loose horse. Never fun. Rick, I'll let you look for him.
Wrong way,
It's coming
the wrong way. Yeah,
at the 7/8 pole.
Yep.
And
there he is.
So, just to let the listeners know what happens at here and many tracks around the country.
Wow.
When there's a loose horse taken off, we have a buzzer that goes off, and then red lights go off. All at places around the track. So if you are on a horse with your head down, you realize what's going on. And then we follow that up. We've hooked up the clockers, who are basically the only ones up there on the roof, with the mic system, so they can alert. They can not only say people. Worst thing that happens when that siren goes off, everyone tries to locate it and screams around. And is this one heading the wrong way down the stretch, full speed, back into the chute, which is the scariest thing in the world, yeah. And he'll run back to the barn.
Now he slows down. Now he's slowing down back there. All right, and he's off. The Outriders, though, did a very nice job escorting him, basically.
Sure.
And I got a nice little video of it, and you'll see how the Outriders both get around. And, of course, one of the most...
What I wanted to mention is not only the advantage of having the sound system up there is they can locate the horse on the track. They can, like this one went off, on the backside, headed the wrong way. So immediately you know where he is, and if you're close, you can look up, and if you're not, you can adjust to it. But that was a perfect example of how it should have been done. Horse heading the wrong way down the stretch, which is... about as bad of a situation as you want, and he was on the rail, but because of the alert system, riders were up, and they guided him back, and 9 times out of 10, when they head down that chute, they're just they're heading back home.
They go, which is always kind of crazy that they know where to go, what barn. Did you see the saddle cloth?
I did not.
I'll put the video up. I caught one once. I tell you, I caught the video once at Churchill. That was. Something, and there was a horrible accident. You get probably one every couple of years, and they you got basically an unguided missile is what a loose horse amounts to in that setting. So
which makes these outriders out here in the morning so important. They ride around with the red jackets on, so they're very visible out here. And they're there for nothing but to help. Their job is to police the situation, make sure guys are pretty much doing the right thing, and looking for helmets and vests and all that stuff is some of the minutiae they do. But when there's a problem out here on the track, they're there to help.
Yeah.
And do what they did, catch loose horses, guide them in the right direction, and alert people of upcoming freight train coming at them.
Well, and it seems, I don't know why it is, but it seems that it... at Churchill, whether it's Greg Blasi, there's that great picture of there was one. I think there was one great picture of Greg Blasi capturing a loose horse, and another outrider. That I think it was Skip Dickstein that got the great. I think it was. I'm going to look that up. It got widely circulated, and then there's the video of the outrider at Laurel or Pimlico, one of the Maryland outriders, and she, I'm going to forget her name, and she made an unbelievable grab of a, that's on Twitter or YouTube somewhere. It's like a rodeo act when the outriders pull that off. Let's take a quick timeout. Top of the hour upon us. Tony Black. Tony can talk about this. We'll have Tony Black in. Steve Haskin in a little bit, too. And then some local visits in the third hour. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.